And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fabulous weekend here in the Middle Tennessee area. Got a lot to get into on the program here today. We'll get into the men's and women's Final Four throughout the day today here on the show. Corey Curtis joining the program at 8 o'clock. John Glennon from NHL.com at 8:30 joining the program as well. Preds get a big win on Saturday against St. Louis, setting up a very important and very difficult week for the Nashville Predators this week as well. We'll get into all that throughout the show. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Doing okay. Is my voice sounding how it sounds in my ears?
I'm turning you down a little bit.
Holy cow. That just blew my ears out. My own voice did.
What better way to start your Monday morning than a loud Rex Road?
Man, it's like Michael J. Fox hitting the guitar at the beginning of Back to the Future.
You've always got a reference. That's what I love about you. Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. I feel like my voice is really loud today, too. There were some things that were different on our board this morning, and it's just going to be an interesting day.
So whose fault would that be? Can we call them out?
I have no idea.
I will not say.
You know you won't. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk during the break.
615-737-1025. I love how Joe's response was, who was that? Can we call him out?
Why not? 6 o'clock hour, man. Say whatever you want.
That's right. What a weekend in both the men's and women's Final Four. Let's start on the women's front. LSU winning the national title yesterday against Iowa. They take down Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. And Kim Mulkey comes in, and LSU wins their first national title in women's basketball yesterday. Lots of different talking points coming out of that game, with the trash talk between LSU and specifically Caitlin Clark after the game, the officiating in that game, which was quite something. I was really had my attention for most of the game on Kim Mulkey just losing her mind over there on the sidelines coaching all the time too. So quite the entertaining game yesterday, but LSU gets it done. They win 102-85, and what a run by Kim Mulkey and the LSU Tigers to win their first national title.
Yeah, a lot coming out of this one. I know that I don't want to complain too much about one aspect, because I think Michelle has a rant later. First of all, Kim Mulkey, say whatever you want about her. I mean, I think she played like the drunken aunt on Hee Haw in 1975. But, man, can she coach some hoops?
She can.
Can she coach some hoops? I mean, LSU's never been there second year. Also, by the way, you know, for any, you know, coach building a program or whatever your coach, your program is, look around, let me tell you something. That's year two. So you got in the portal, won a natty.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, look, this is the reality. The reality is that it's tougher for coaches, but also if you're good, you can do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, kind of.
That's her fourth, isn't it?
I believe that's right.
Fourth.
And then, of course, she also, you know, I think won as an assistant at La Tech and a player at La Tech. Yeah. So there's that. And of course, I can't even talk about the women's Final Four, which is, first of all, amazing. The attention, the ratings, the conversation, the personalities, like, it's all been a great weekend for women's basketball. But it's hard to even talk about it without getting pissed off about Twitter, because, first of all, take my blue check away. I want it off. I will never pay your dumbass for a blue check. See, this is 6 o'clock hour. I'm just going to say words that I probably shouldn't say in the air. By the way, why do I have to have Clay Travis tweets in my feed all day? Why do I have to have Dave Portnoy tweets in my feed all day? Why?
Are you on your For You page? I don't know.
Is that what?
Yeah, you can have a For You page or a following. It's up top. You switch it.
Okay, no. But this is a change. Like, it used to be that I would see tweets from people that I follow, or if somebody I followed tweeted them, right?
Correct.
So now it's just whatever?
If you're on the For You page. You could switch it to following, is what I'm saying.
I'm done with Twitter. All right, fine. I'll take some responsibility for the user error. But again, if Clay Travis and Dave Portnoy both agree on something, you should not agree with that stupid opinion. And like all this stuff about Angel Reese and the trash talk and Caitlin Clark. You know, Angel Reese, I mean, I give her some credit for following her around the court. Like, look at me. I'm doing the thing, you know. I mean, it might have been a little much. Caitlin Clark talks all kinds of trash.
Yes.
You want to talk about disrespect. I think the most disrespectful thing she did was when she, like, waved, like, nah, you go ahead, stay out there. Against
South Carolina. Yeah. I'm not guarding you.
I mean, she told Haley Van Lith, like, shut up, you're down 15. Right. I mean, she talks trash. We celebrate it. Great. Okay, I mean, it's part of the game.
It's basketball.
So now Dave Portnoy called Angel Reese a classless piece of bleep. Are you serious? Talk about a piece of bleep. I mean, don't even get me started, man. It's such a crap discussion around all of this, and I'm sick of it. So 6:06 a.m. Sorry.
6:06 a.m. LSU wins 102-85. We'll get a lot more to say on this a little bit later here in the show on the men's side of things. Quite the weekend in the men's Final Four as well. UConn continues to roll, so they win 72-59 against Miami, and UConn has been the most impressive team throughout the tournament to this point, and we'll see if they can finish it off tonight in the national championship game. San Diego State winning on the buzzer beater against my beloved FAU Owls, taking them down on Saturday on the final shot of the game, 72-71, the final score, setting up the national title game tonight between UConn and San Diego State. Impressive. We got one pretty good game on Saturday with San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, but I was crushed to see my Owls go down in that fashion.
Well, I'll tell you what, they really were in control.
They were.
It was looking FAU a lot of the night. You know, credit to San Diego State for coming back. Great shot. I mean, that's this became also like the video, people taking homemade videos and putting it on. Again, I guess I can't complain too much about Twitter because there's stuff that's interesting. What's that?
Is he out of bounds?
Yeah. It was about close. Half an inch. Yeah, that foot. But what a step back. What a shot by Lamont Butler. That's an all-timer. That'll be replayed over and over again. And, maybe they can make it a game. I hope so. I hope we get a good game tonight. But UConn,
they're pretty darn good.
Is very good, yeah. UConn is, I mean, it's. I love Danny Hurley's great, man. He's just like, yeah. Got three pros, put some good players around him. It's not that hard, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, Danny.
I mean, They've had the most dominant performance, probably close to ever in this tournament.
Yeah. Like 96 Kentucky. Yeah. That was.
Hey, look at the shirt I'm wearing, guys.
Let's see. I see UMass.
It's 96 Kentucky when they won the national championship, but it's UMass. Cal was coaching in Syracuse.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. The Kentucky-Syracuse game was amazing. That's right. That was Marcus Camby and Cal. Oh, yeah. That's one of the great pressers of all time. When John Chaney.
That was awesome.
Pound him. That was great. but it is. But it's up there. I mean, I think Dave Warlock is worth following. Although if you follow him, you still may have to read Dave Portnoy tweets. But Dave Warlock had a great tweet the other day that I'm going to find. Yeah, teams reaching the title game by winning double digits in every game since they expanded the tournament. UConn this year, Nova 18, UNC 16-09, Duke 01, Michigan State 2000. Now remember that Michigan State team was the first to win every game by double digits in the end. I don't know how many of those teams did that. But, yeah, this is a dominant run. I mean, this is and I just hope that it's at least – I mean, what's the best game UConn's had so far?
Maybe the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami gave them a bit of – got it down to, like, what, 8?
I mean, they beat Gonzaga by, like, 30.
Yeah, they destroyed Gonzaga.
And Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean it
seriously
Miami.
Made me a Miami game.
Good teams. Yeah. So, credit to them, man. It's a heck of a team. UConn is – They'll go like 4 years without making the tournament.
Right.
But they will freaking win it when they get a chance.
They're a 7.5-point favorite tonight on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So San Diego State, UConn in the national championship game tonight. UConn favored by 7.5. I mean, look, it's hard to pick against UConn right now. I know it's the national championship game and anything can happen. And San Diego State has been very impressive. Still love my pick of having them losing in the first round to Charleston, I believe it was. Was that
where
they played in the first round? Yep. That one worked out really well for me.
That's right.
But UConn, I mean, it's if they play like they've played throughout the tournament, they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, it's going to take one of those. And San Diego State plays good D. You hope that can keep you in the game. They're going to have a ridiculous. The thing is, Matt Bradley had a ridiculous shooting night the other night, and they still had to have incredible heroics to come back and beat FAU. You know, on the weekend, back to the women's game, I will say that, like, Iowa, South Carolina – You know, so often in sports, something gets built up and then doesn't live up to it. That game lived up to
it was pretty awesome.
Every bit of what you hoped it would be.
Yeah.
So, although yesterday was not a great game, I mean, LSU just, like, talk about just shooting the heck out of the
basket. They sure
did. I mean, it's just one of those days where it's like, you know what? You're just not going to touch that team. They hit everything. But Iowa, South Carolina was so freaking great.
Yeah, it was. And look, Caitlin Clark, we've talked about her a lot. I mean, yesterday ends up being a disappointing game because she only had 30. It was 9 of 22 from the floor. So 30 points for Caitlin Clark the other day. But, I mean, her performance against South Carolina, when she started kind of late in that first half there, I was like, yeah, South Carolina's not going to win this game. Like, Caitlin Clark is not going to allow Iowa to lose this game. And they didn't. And then all of a sudden LSU, like you said, yesterday in the first half in particular, they were just raining it down yesterday from three. It was unbelievable. Watch what they end up with as their percentage from three. 64.7%, 11 from 17 from the field yesterday from three.
Yeah, that's you know, not a great shooting team. I mean, Caitlin Clark, so what, she has 2 years of eligibility left?
Yes.
And she's making NIL money left and right.
She's probably hang around.
If you're a talented player getting into the portal, I'd be looking at Iowa. She needs some help.
Yeah.
And give her some help, and, you know, like, she'll win a natty. She had very, very little help. The post who fouled out yesterday is a good player who's done. But, man, that's totally like Jordan and the Jordanaires, you know, with Caitlin Clark in Iowa. I mean, she needs some help, but incredible player. And a very good trash talker, by the way.
Yes.
Who does it all the time, who's been doing it her whole career. And people don't realize that.
And I'm always awesome. For the trash talk in basketball. That's what I'm here for. That's what we do in basketball.
I mean, like, it's an art form.
It is.
I mean, you know, like, you go back to, like, I mean, there's entire documentaries about Larry Bird's trash talk.
We've complained about in the NBA. There's not enough of it anymore. I need more of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody freaks out when it's girls. It's like, oh, gosh.
Right.
Have how some dare
class.
You?
Have some class.
It's like, if you heard some of the things Jordan or any of them said, I mean, come also, on.
Like, all they did
pass
was.
Pass the gray poupon.
All they did was wave their hand in front of their face. It's like, all right.
I mean, yeah, she did chase her around. It was like a little kid's playing tag. Look at me. I'm putting my hand in front
of my I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the reaction to this, seriously, just total idiots. It's, get it off. So, okay, I can change it to just who I'm following.
Correct.
When did this change happen?
I don't know. A few weeks ago, a month ago, something like that.
What a garbage website. I mean, I know that he's made a lot of money, so obviously he knows what he's doing in some ways. He has turned this into this is like turning McDonald's into Krusty Burger. Ridiculous.
615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex. We'll get back into this discussion a little bit later in the program. 615-737-1025. Preds get a big win against St. Louis. It sets up a big week for the Nashville Predators as well. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Chris on the text line. Joe is coming in hot today. This is on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Again.
In more ways than one.
Well, yeah. Your settings on Twitter, you guys keep them on following?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is it for you?
It's
not for you. Clay Travis' freaking tweet is not for me.
I don't know.
I guess I'll just block him. I'll just do it right now.
That should help.
God, what a moron.
615-737-1025. Morbid thoughts on our text line. By the way, Trey on the text line, before we get into the Preds win, says, what was your guys' reaction to hearing what Duchesne described seeing in his glove after his recent injury? Can something like that have long-term issues with his hand? And Darren Pang put out some information over the weekend that apparently when Matt Duchesne took the puck on the hand where he got hurt, he looked down in his glove and part of his fingertip was still in his glove. That's a tough one. So I don't really know what the recovery process looks like on that front, but that does not sound fun for Matt Duchesne.
No. That sounds Ronnie Lott like.
Yes, sounds awful.
Could have gone without knowing that one, Matt Duchesne.
Yeah.
Whew.
Wow. Yeah,
that would explain week to week. the week-to-week designation, that would be explained a lot.
I would think so. I mean, yeah, Trey, to answer your question, I would think so. If part of it's gone, that would be potential for long-term issues. Wow, jarring.
We'll see what happens.
6 a.m. hour.
Yeah, it's a 6 a.m. hour here on the program. Preds get the big win on Saturday against St. Louis. They win 6-1, so 6 goals with the group they've got out there right now is really an offensive outburst, to say the least, and the Predators did that on Saturday in what was a really emotional game. They had the pregame ceremony before the game, just talking about the victims from the Covenant School and a moment of silence and prayer that took place before the game, and it was really well done by the Predators before the game. Jody Messina came out and sung the national anthem, did a beautiful job with that as well. And then the Predators really basically from start to finish in that game, Joe, were all over the Blues. I mean, they came out and scored a couple right off the hop in the first period, and they really, I can probably point out maybe a 2 or 3 minute stretch in the second period where they were on their heels a little bit. Other than that, they were pretty much the aggressor and all over it on Saturday against St. Louis. Now, a couple of things here. St. Louis isn't very good. I think that's pretty clear, and we got a firsthand lesson of that on Saturday. But number two, the Predators with their roster right now, constructed the way it is, we've talked about the offensive issues that have taken place. I thought it was an excellent performance from them on Saturday. Luke Evangelista with 3 points on Saturday, goal and 2 assists. Tommy Novak with a goal and 3 assists. Those two specifically are playing together and playing really well right now. And then, you know, Cody Glass scores again. You know, Yakov Trenin with a nice goal later in the game too. Just a really good performance on Saturday. And that sets up a big week for the Nashville Predators this week, and that begins tonight as they go on the road to take on the Dallas Stars, followed by a back-to-back at home tomorrow against Vegas, Carolina on Thursday, and then a big one against Winnipeg on Saturday. Now, yesterday, both Winnipeg and Calgary played, and both Winnipeg and Calgary won yesterday. So the Predators 5 points behind Winnipeg now with 2 games in hand again. So really the question is, Joe, as they get through this week and they play Winnipeg on Saturday and then Calgary next week, can you find a way to be close to them where those games matter heading into this weekend? That's kind of the next step here for the Preds.
And it took a comeback from the Flames, by the way, at home to in the third, get 2 goals in the third to beat the Ducks. It looked like the Ducks might be providing some help. But, yeah, you don't have much margin for error here. First of all, Saturday, a feel-good win, like you said, for this group, which doesn't happen a ton. They have to scratch and claw for most of their wins these days. It's also a classic, like, can you save a couple?
Yeah.
Can you save a couple of those? You're talking, okay, so 5 points, but 2 games in hand on the Jets, and you're talking 3 points back and 2 games in hand in the Flames. So what do you have to do this week? I mean, you have to hope you get some help.
Well, you got to get some help for sure. And I mean, look, if you want to make the playoffs this week, I mean, you got to win 3 of 4, I think. Like, I mean, you're running out of time. The end of the season is just 2 weeks away. Like, you're running out of time. You got to find a way to win and dig down deep and get some results here. And you know, I caught up with Ryan McDonough after the game on Saturday, and he kind of laid it out. The schedule is right in front of them, and they know what they had to do. And some interesting comments from Ryan McDonough after the game about just what it's been like to be on this ride the last couple of weeks. Here's what Predators defenseman Ryan McDonough had to say after the game on Saturday.
It's hard to imagine you guys playing a whole lot better than you did today. What'd you make of this one today from your group?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, look at the score, you look at the special teams. It was contributions from everybody tonight. That's what it takes. And, you know, I certainly didn't have a great feeling in the locker room after the Pittsburgh game as far as the way we played. Just execution was a little bit off, and the smarts of our game was a little bit off. So wanted to respond here, obviously. We know what's at stake here at towards the end of the season, and it was a good response for sure. Feels good to come out with a big win.
Obviously, we know what happened in the city this week. What was it like being back in this building in this city for the first time since then?
Yeah, no doubt. It's been on our minds like everybody since it went down. So you try to focus on your job here, and like I said, just trying to be inspirational here for the city and hopefully bring a little bit of joy and excitement and like I said, distract them from the pain that everybody's feeling here. So it's been quite a week, and we're definitely trying to use this as motivation to bring some joy and inspiration to the city, like I said.
Not a lot of margin for error, but you've given yourself a chance here with a couple of weeks to go. What's the mindset?
Absolutely. We know we feel like we control our own destiny here. We know we've got a big one against Dallas here in a couple of days, and the rest of our schedule is pretty laid out for us. So good opponents and good challenges, and we just got to come out and try to play winning hockey here.
The penalty kill has been so good lately. What is the key to that?
Just being kind of in sync there in our reads, trying to be aggressive, and certainly you need sacrifice. Guys blocking shots and laying their body on the line there. You need big goaltending, obviously, at times, too, and we've had that for sure. But just trying to keep them on their toes, the opposition, and be aggressive, be assertive, make sure when the puck's on our stick, execute and get it all the way down the ice, little things like that. And we definitely want to keep playing with confidence there.
What have you liked about playing with Dante?
Guys, season is going
to
start.
First of all, he talks a lot out there, so it's really helpful to play with him like that. He's a great skater. His head is up all the time with the puck on a stick, and we just try to play simple. Use each other and support each other. Try not to spend a lot of time in our zone, and like I said, use our skating ability to get up the ice.
Ryan, as you look back over the last month or so, what do you think's allowed this team to hang in there the way it has with all the turnover and injuries?
I mean, it's probably hard to pinpoint one thing. We've had a lot of adversity, I think, and you get tested there with adversity. You really have to look in the mirror individually and as a team, and we've had great energy from the guys coming up, willingness to be coachable, willingness to accept their role, and that's what it takes. You need leaders to help set the tone and good energy and guys that want to be here, want to be a part of a winning team. Like I said, we had every excuse to just pack it in here and coast away the season, but it's been great to be a part of this run here, and like I said, we're just trying to seize the opportunity.
That was Ryan McDonagh after the game on Saturday. Lots of interesting stuff there from him. And look, I can just tell you, we've talked a lot about McDonagh, like what exactly is his mindset moving forward here. I mean, that's probably still going to be something we discuss in the offseason of exactly what the plan is here for the Predators, how he fits into it, and all that stuff. I can tell you, based on some conversations I've had, that guy has been otherworldly important for them in that locker room through this stretch here, just based on some conversations that I've had. And doesn't take a whole lot of time being around him to figure out why he wins a lot wherever he is.
Yeah, and good for him, because I think a lot of players – I think this whole season is kind of a testament to that too, because I think a lot of players with his career and his success coming here kind of thinking maybe one thing was going to happen and then a different thing, very different thing happened. For him to still be a leader and kind of step to the forefront in that situation kind of tells you that's, to use a Tim Corbin expression, the fibers. He's got the fibers that you're looking for as a leader.
Yep, no question about it. 615-737-1025. So the Preds get a big win on Saturday. And they've got a very tough but important week this week, beginning tonight as they take on the Dallas Stars. What do you make of what's in front of it here for the Nashville Predators? And how do you feel about this young group that you've seen thus far with really an exclamation of a performance on Saturday against the Blues? 615-737-1025. We'll get into more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Big win for the Predators on Saturday against St. Louis, setting up a big week this week, beginning tonight in Dallas. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, the opportunity in front of them this week, and what you've seen from the young guys, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, we talked about the six-goal performance on Saturday against St. Louis. And the two guys that really stand out there are Evangelista and Novak. Novak with 4 points on Saturday, 1 goal, 3 assists. Evangelista with 3, 1 goal, and 2 assists. Those guys have really, I mean, they've played together for a while now, both in Milwaukee and now here in Nashville. And John Hines has kind of left that duo together. And Sherwood's kind of been the other guy with them, at least as of late. But look, those two, they've been really good. They really have. And Evangelista, again, on Saturday, scores a nice goal in front of the net. And we keep talking about, just he's got to get bigger and stronger. And we've heard Hines say that. We've heard Poyle say that. But it was interesting. Like, Bally Sports, Willie and Mason then put up a graphic the other day, I believe in the Pittsburgh game, of Evangelista and where he ranks on the team since he's come up, of slot shots and getting to the middle of the ice and generating the best looks, and he's number one on the team. And then yesterday he scores one again right on the doorstep in front of the crease against St. Louis. So, look, he does have to get bigger. I get all that, but I think the more I watch him play, the more encouraged I am by what he's been able to do at the NHL level. And honestly, like Novak, I keep waiting on him to slow down just because he's never really been this type of a player before in terms of at the pro level. And all he does is continue to produce. I mean, 4 points again on Saturday. He's played 44 games for the Predators this year, and he's got 38 points. So you're talking about somebody that, with this group and this lineup and all the changes that have been made, you're talking about a guy in Tommy Novak that in a 44-game sample size is really not that far off from being a point-per-game player, which is kind of unbelievable watching him do what he's doing.
Yeah, and that is such a different the two very different things. Evangelista, heavily hyped, and it's been a fast road, and it's like, wow, okay. You can see, like, right now, at this point, the trajectory is pretty clear. But, you know, Novak, you're talking about a third-rounder back in 2015, you know, a long road and no real indication that that this – I mean, let's see, he's about to turn – so he's going to turn 26 this month. So, you know, I mean, usually you get to that age, you get to the mid-20s, and you kind of know what a player is,
yeah.
Right? Not that you can't make big leaps, you know, at any point, but it's kind of against the norm. But, I don't know, man, at some point you kind of look at him differently, right, as a player. I mean, is he just on a crazy, you know, one-season heater here, or is he a guy who's going to be a real key part of their future?
Yeah, it's a great question because, I mean, I still – when you start to try to figure out what this group is going to look like next year, beyond, you know, whatever happens this week and whether or not they can find their way into a playoff mix here, I mean, the numbers would tell you that's still pretty unlikely, but they've got an opportunity in front of them this week. But as you start to look ahead and think about who's going to be here and what this group's going to look like the way he's playing right now, I mean, he's definitely on the team. And you think about, okay, is he a top six forward? Like, is he going to be a second-line center? Like, are they going into next year with Cody Glass as their number one center and Tommy Novak as their number two center?
Where's Ryan Johansson?
Like, Ryan Johansson, hey, man, have fun on the third line. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, that's what's the interesting part to try to figure out is, you know, these injuries have decimated what they are offensively for the most part. You know, other than Saturday, they've pretty much been at 2 goals a game lately. But it's also, you look around and it's opened up the door for some of these other guys, and you wonder, like, what would the lineup look like right now if what I think at this point is a fictional reality? Like, all these guys coming back to me at this point just seems like that's not going to happen. But let's say it did. Like, if Forsberg's healthy and Duchesne's healthy and Johansson's healthy and Parsons's healthy, like, what's the lineup look like right now? Because those are the decisions that Barry Trotz is going to have to make and John Hines are going to have to make this offseason of, all right, what's your lineup look like? Because, I mean, you can't keep everybody. There are going to be guys that are playing right now that aren't on the opening night roster next year.
Of course. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit of a hater here or too fixated on – you know, age/draft position, whatever. I still feel like Novak, like, moving forward down the road, you want to get better and, you know, improve to the point where he wouldn't be a top six guy for you.
I would agree. But, you know? I mean, if he's going to be
– but
he's going to play like this, like, it's like, I mean, he's definitely making a case for himself. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. So you've got Glass down the middle, Novak playing the way that he's played. The one that I think has been really unfortunate in terms of – well, look, you never want to see anybody get hurt. But, like, the Parsonen part of this is unfortunate because I think with the way things have shaken out, his role could have really been elevated, and maybe you could have gotten to see what he can do a little bit. But I think we've seen enough from him to think that, you know, he's pretty good and he could be around next year. And they're all centers. So you're talking about Glass, Parsonen, Novak, all down the middle. And it's like, well, Ryan Johansson is still there, And Colton Sissons is still there. Like, who's going to play where next year? That's why, like, there are some people, and we had Jim Diamond on last week, and I get it. Like, this idea of buying out Ryan Johansson, some people just dismiss that out of hand. They're like, he's got 2 years left on his deal. Just eat these next 2 years with him, and then it's off your books. If you buy him out, he's going to be on your books for years beyond that moving forward.
But it'll be, what, $2 million?
It'll be a much lower cap hit, yeah. But, like, I look around at the roster right now, like, okay, so if you keep him, where's he playing?
Yeah.
Is he going to be in your top six?
I think there's a real good case to be made to buy him out.
I think there is, too. So, like, they've all of a sudden created some depth for themselves at center with some of these young guys. Now, the question I have is, depth is great. Are there any of these guys that they have at center now that are actually bona fide top two centers moving forward? And what I mean by that is, whenever this swings back up and they're on the way back to being competitive and, you know, trying to compete for a Stanley Cup, are any of these guys legitimate number one or number two centers on a playoff Stanley Cup quality team? That's the answer that we do not know yet.
Right. Someone who can match up with other top centers in the league. Someone who, you know, can get you about 60 points. Is that fair? Is that a fair prerequisite for basically for,
yeah,
you know, someone like that? I mean, could Cody Glass, I mean, I'm interested to see Cody Glass after another offseason, continuing to stay healthy, what he could be. I mean, I like Parsonen, but, you know, I still think it's kind of early to be able to tell that. Like, how much better is he going to get? He has to still get quite a bit better, but I like him.
Yep.
I mean, he's a nice player. I still feel like that guy may not be here yet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of them are elite. Let me put it that way. But are they good enough where you can build around them? I don't know. Like, Cody Glass. I mean, Cody Glass is, we talk about, like, in order to get the elite forward, you got to draft high. Like, Cody Glass is that guy. He's number six overall in the draft. I mean, that's the type of player that you're talking about. And I've been really encouraged by what I've seen from him, especially lately, because he's scoring lately. Like, not just with his playmaking ability, but he's putting the puck in the back of the net. And he's doing it by basically, I mean, it was again on Saturday, he's right in front of the net, and he just redirects a shot. And he's figuring out how to use his size, which I think is encouraging for him as he moves forward here. So I've been pretty encouraged by what I've seen from him. But again, like, what does that mean? Is he a 30-goal guy? Is he a 65, 70-point guy? If he is, then that's great if you're the Predators. If, you know, if he's a 45, 50-point guy, it's probably not a number one center there if you're the Predators.
Right. So, and, you know, right now he's basically a half point a game here, you know, 31 points in 65 games. But I also feel like, and I don't have, you know, like the splits, but I think the last, I don't know, 2 months has been a different level of play from him.
I would agree.
Than early in the year when he's still kind of trying to find his way in and out, you know. Defensively, of course, as John Hines has talked about, they were looking for certain things that he wasn't giving them, but he is now. So it's a great question. Certainly he's a part of, I think, the future.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg on the text line says, number one centers have to be point-per-game players with 3 exclamation points at the end of it, too. Now, I hear you.
Well, elite centers
are. Elite centers have to be that.
Lots of teams have a number one center who isn't a point-a-game player.
Right. Now, that's also, like, you're also, when you're trying to figure that out with Glass, it's not necessarily about right now. Like, what do you think he can be? Like, what do you think he is? What do you think Parsonen could be? Look, I don't know that any of them are going to end up being, quote-unquote, number one center quality. But how close do you think they can get to that if you're in the evaluation process right now? If you're Trotz and Hines and whoever's, you know, a part of this decision-making as you move forward here. Cam on the text line says, excited about the future of this team. Every time it looks like they're done, they get a big win. Games versus Winnipeg and Calgary decided our fate. Evangelista has shown elite potential. Can't wait to see him on a line with Novak and Forsberg. This from Cam on the text line.
Is that the future? Is that the line of the future?
I don't know. Matt Duchene with Cody Glass and Forsberg down there with Novak and Evangelista. Maybe.
Name the lines. Name them.
I mean, Tomasino scored again on Saturday, too. I mean, he's got to fit in there somewhere,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I think he's a big part of the future. It's one of those things where it's like they have a lot of good players young, promising players. You don't know how what the ceiling is or what the absolute max is for all of them. You know, you still want like a couple, two, three really, really good players, and I still don't know if that's happening, materializing in the future.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Preds fans hanging out tomorrow night before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds back in action tomorrow night against the Vegas Golden Knights at home. They're taking on Dallas tonight on the road. So a tough back-to-back coming up for the Nashville Predators. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, our text line and phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, no Roman Josi again on Saturday for the Predators. So Spencer Stastny making his NHL debut. Thought he played pretty well. Thought he looked pretty good out there for the Predators. So we'll see if there's any news on the Josi front tonight as they take on the Stars. But I guess I'm a little bit surprised given the fact that he was on the trip, did not play in Pittsburgh, and then didn't play again Saturday against St. Louis. So don't know exactly what's going on with Roman Josi right now.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a setback or a delay, a little bit different timeline than they anticipated, like the way David Poile talked about last week. Or was it just that they just wanted him on the trip?
I mean, look, Boyle said he had a chance to play against Pittsburgh.
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
He did not play against Pittsburgh, and then he
so
did not
play. So
you're
saying there's a chance.
I guess there's still a chance tonight as they travel to take on the Dallas Stars. But really, I mean, beyond the young guys, and we'll get back into them coming up here in just a second. But, I mean, let's think about UC Saros in his last three games. He held Boston to one goal that they scored with 2 seconds left in the game on Tuesday. I thought he was unbelievable against Pittsburgh on Thursday. Only gave up two in that one. And then Saturday against St. Louis. I mean, he honestly wasn't tested a ton on Saturday. And the one goal he did give up, he probably wants back. But you're talking about a guy that he's playing so well right now that basically anytime one finds its way in the back of the net, I'm like, huh, how about that one? They found a way to beat him. How about that? He's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's why this is still – possible at this point. What's the better move goalie wise here in this back to back? Do you consider him both nights? I mean, you have a break. You got a bunch of games here, huge games here. Don't you think you don't play in both games here?
I think you give Lankinen one. Look, Lankinen's played well enough for the most, and I know the last time that he was out there
didn't go so well.
So I get it. But he's played well enough for the entire body of work this year that I think you just got to trust him to go out there and hope that he does the job for you. I don't know specifically which one I'd give him. My guess is they'll probably go Saros tonight, and then they'll have Lankin in tomorrow would be my guess. But, I mean, that's also one thing, like, if you're a coach, like, if you go out tonight and you play super well and Dallas – doesn't generate a ton and that, you know, Saros didn't have to make 35 saves tonight, then maybe you ask him how he feels heading into Tuesday. But I think you'll see Lankinen get one of the next two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you ask him, he'll say, yeah, I'm good.
Exactly.
I'll play tomorrow. But I think you got to, you go through the whole sample size of the whole season, Lankinen has been good, has come up big for you. And you need Saros at his best against Carolina, against Winnipeg, against Calgary, you know, the next three games after the back-to-back. So I think you have to give him one of these nights off.
James on the text line says, I'm wondering if we're not shutting down the players just to see what else we have with the Milwaukee players. This is from James on the text line. I guess talking about the injured players there. I mean, I don't think so.
I mean, again, Forsberg seems to be
pretty
shut down.
Yeah.
But, so if this was a totally different situation, would that change where he is? I mean, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the bottom line is, however unlikely it has been, just in terms of the math for them to get in, I mean, they've been right there. Like, my guess is if Philip Forsberg was able to go, we would have seen him in there the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, I think stagnated was the word that John Hines used with us when describing what Forsberg was. He was apparently pretty close at one point, and then he stagnated. Well, whatever that was with the stagnation, apparently was pretty serious. I mean, that's the only way I can kind of read it right now.
Yeah. So that's the thing. There's a bigger question with him, you know, probably once the season ends. It's like, okay, so what is happening
right
with Philip Forsberg? So Brett with a 306 area code in Canada. I don't know what you're trying to do to my brain right now with your texts, but, like, we're getting, like, eight in a row that are, like, broken up. I can't tell what you're saying here.
I'm sorry. I think he's talking about Yossi. And I think
I see the word Yossi, but there's a bunch of missing words here. This is very bizarre.
We'll see if we can't make sense of that text message there.
See if you can send us one text with words in it.
But as of tonight, I mean, it's probably going to be we'll keep an eye on Yossi, but, like, I can't imagine that Forsberg and Carrier and Parsonen and these other guys that we've talked about that have been injured that weren't all that close last week, apparently. Like, it's hard for me to believe they're just all of a sudden going to be ready this week, too. So it kind of feels like the Predators, maybe with the exception of Yossi, this is going to be what it is, and you got to find a way to figure it out. And, look, it was a great game against St. Louis on Saturday. You played really well. You scored goals. You know, that was not a very good team that you played, but you took advantage of it. And with this roster, six goals against anybody in the NHL right now, pretty good for the Predators. It's going to get a lot tougher this week. Dallas, Vegas, back-to-back coming up here. You got Carolina, who is, I believe, the second-best team in the league points-wise coming up later this week. And then there's Winnipeg on Saturday. And you look at the standings right now, like Dallas, they need this one tonight. They're in it right now with Minnesota and Colorado. Minnesota's at 97 points. Colorado's at 96. Dallas is at 96. So, like, if you're Dallas, you could finish anywhere from first in your division and take on a wild card team, or you could be in third in your division and go on the road to take on Colorado in the first round of the playoffs, which I can't imagine is very appealing to them.
Sounds a lot of fun. Yeah, it's huge for them. And, of course, the Preds finish with Minnesota and Colorado, by the way, at home, which we'll see if those games matter. But if the Preds get 2 points among the next three games, not what you want, but if they get 2 points out of the next three games, I guess in theory, like, you go on the road to Winnipeg and Calgary, and knowing obviously you have to win both those games outright in regulation, but still could potentially be hanging on.
You could. Like, to me, you need to win two of the three, I think, heading into the Winnipeg game. Just because, I mean, you got to give yourself a shot to hang in there. Like, you know, Winnipeg, honestly, I thought the Predators could be in a good spot because Jersey's been so good all year, and Winnipeg just wiped the floor with the Devils yesterday. They won 6-1 at home. So that's a game that maybe you were counting on if you're the Predators for Winnipeg to kind of let slip away from them, that they didn't. And now they've got Calgary on Wednesday, so that's a big one. So somebody's going to win on Wednesday between Winnipeg and Calgary. What you're hoping for is somebody gets that done in regulation. My guess is you're probably rooting for Calgary in that situation. And then Winnipeg doesn't play again until Saturday against you. So that's the other thing. Like, you're having all these games this week, and Winnipeg played yesterday. They don't play again until Wednesday. And then after that, they don't play again until Saturday.
Right, I mean, at home. Yeah, they only have five games left.
Right.
But if you get let's say, you know, you get two and they do lose that game, I mean, you're still then basically you're even up. It's 89-86, and you play at their place.
Yep.
So then if you go win and you pull within a point, basically, I mean, you know, then at least you're in there.
Yeah, for sure.
You're there probably till the end.
Matt from Nolensville says, if you're a fan of a potential playoff team, this is your dream scenario as far as final games. You get the chance to beat the teams in front of you, so the swing is big. It's tough matchups, but a huge opportunity for the Preds. Grigsby on the text line with a nice, what is this? I don't know. I'm reading the wrong text messenger. We'll get back to that one a little bit later. 615-737-1025. 615-737.
Looks like Terrence and Phillip Terrence from and Phillip. South Park.
Yeah, there we go. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into the Titans and take a look at the NFL draft, including an interesting piece that came out yesterday at ESPN about how many actual first-rounders, first-round quality players are in this draft. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.